Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can see, you can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. I'm sitting in my guest room and a returning guest who has a radiator in the background. So if you hear any crackling rose, little Neil Diamond action, it's his radio. A radiator. Victor Varnado, welcome back to the program.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me one more time.
One more time, which I think you might have talked about hip hop last time. I didn't look it up because that's what it's like 20 years into the Dork Forest. You're like, it's at least been 10 years. Let's hear other opinions about hip hop. And you might pick different bands. Are they called bands?
I definitely didn't talk about hip hop. I don't think I talked about hip hop last time. The reason I don't think I talked about hip hop is because I have a very narrow area of hip hop that I really, really like for a certain amount of time. And I've heard people outside of that area that I like, but like this area colors everything else I experience.
Right. So that's what it might be, is what I'm saying. You should know, Victor Varnado, I don't even know if you're a New York guy, so I don't even know if you're still doing stand-up.
Oh, yes. I'm actually doing stand-up. I'm starting to produce a new local show
New York, y'all.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon, and go to Roboto Supremo. So on Instagram, it'll be in the notes. Also, you're creating a new world of, there's like a high, it's called highscoregamearcade.com. Tell people about that because I can't explain it. And if I do, it won't be flattering. I don't know what it is.
It's very simple. So when I was a kid, I used to love video arcades. I don't know if you love video arcades, but I did.
Yes.
And
but are they? Am I going to get to play Mortal Kombat 3? Is that what you're telling me?
Something like that. So I wanted to make a place where there's like a place where there's games and then you could play against anybody in the world and there's a running high score for the entire world. So like if anytime you want to see who the best player in the world is, you just have to go to this website and you'll see who the best player in the world is. According to, you know, High Score Game Arcade.
Right. High Score Game Arcade. But what games are there?
Everyone in the world has access to the same games. So the games that are there are games that I've made. Like I've made different games. And I'm making it like, you know, the same way it would be like if you're going to a bunch of different cabinets in an arcade where there'd be just like a bunch of different games and everybody would have the same game to play and they'd have to try to get high scores on the same game. And so that's what I wanted to make, but digitally. And so,
And are they side scrollers? Are they fighting games? Are they,
they're all kinds of different games. Like, so one game is part Space Invaders and part, Pong together.
Okay. So they're like arcade games. They're not open.
I would consider them all arcade games. That's what I like, arcade games. And so I would consider them all arcade style games. But in those games, there's like different styles of games. There's one that's kind of like Tapper. There's one that's like Berserk. There's different stuff.
Yeah. So if you liked upright arcade games from the 80s and 90s, these are the ones. And also, I think they did transfer a little bit to Game Boys and handhelds and stuff like that, but the but it's not going to be like Zelda. It's not going to be this wide open Fallout. All of a sudden, you're in the middle of an open world, and it's not Minecraft, right? It's literally arcade box uprights that you get to play like old school high. And then you get high score.
Well, no, you play them on your phone.
Right,
you can play
right, but it's Oh, is it? Am I getting an app from the App Store? Or am I just going to the website?
No. There's no app.
Don't have to.
So remember when I said I wanted to make it worldwide? Well, a lot of places in the world, people's phones are not powerful enough to handle apps. So if I made it an app, it would cut out a lot of people in the world.
Okay.
So to make it actually worldwide, I had to make it a web app. But it kind of acts like an app. Like you go there and then you can push your button and it'll go full screen. It'll make your phone kind of like a tiny Game Boy while you're playing the game.
Okay. Oh, cool. Awesome. And well, that's exciting. And it's called highscoregamearcade.com. All right.
And then sponsors give us prizes to give away for free all the time.
Okay. Oh, fun.
So you, it's free.
If you're the high score.
It's free and there's free prizes. Actually, right now there's a prize if you're the number one score, or there's a prize if you're the 26th score.
Nice and random. I like it. That's awesome. Okay, so what is this niche hip hop that you enjoy for as long as you enjoy?
Well, I didn't even realize what I was really into until I got older, but it was definitely like kind of like black nerd hip hop. Like there wasn't really a name for it back in the day exactly.
Okay. Is there now?
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I like nerdcore rap. But there's also black nerdcore, which is called a blurredcore. So that's a thing. But that's not like all nerd black rap. It's just a particular kind that I like. That's my rap EP is blurredcore.
Blurredcore. Okay. So it's black nerds. Essentially, it's youth talking about, and maybe not, maybe they're older black nerds.
I'm a black nerd. Yeah, you see what you did? You were like, you aged me out.
Right there. I didn't mean to do that. That didn't mean to happen. But it's essentially, not because there's like sort of thug life and there's urban and then there's edutainment and then there's all different kinds of rap, obviously, and hip hop. There's dance.
Wait, did you say thug life, urban, and edutainment were the categories of rap you picked?
Made them up. Did I lose my mind?
Urban and edutainment. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm sure I've seen edutainment rap. I'm sure
that's
I've
KRS.
Seen...
That's what KRS-One calls his rap.
Really?
And then it was that was the name of one of his albums, Edutainment.
Oh,
it was so irritating. Yeah, it was, but it felt a little didactic. But I like KRS-One, and but then other people co-opted that term.
What does didactic mean?
It's a little preachy. It's a little too academic and a little specific. It turns out the fans of the Dork Forest are pedants. Why? Because I am. Because I'm a little pedantic. I'm a little specific. I need it to be done right. And I might correct you if there's, but I try not to. I mean, the thing is my, but people email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com. Mm. Feel free to correct me. They do it all the time. They're like, well, you were half correct, or you were partially correct, or you were entirely wrong. And then at length, I receive paragraphs from people. A guy named Steve likes to let me in on it.
On my podcast, I have a person who goes through all the messages before I have to see them.
Oh. Oh, that's nice. It's what is your podcast? Why are we not plugging that?
We can if you'd like.
Let's do it now.
Okay, I have a podcast called Wiki Listen. It's on hiatus right now. I'll be back in about a week or two. Okay. It is a podcast where I read Wikipedia pages. I pick different Wikipedia pages and I read the pages. And sometimes I roast them lightly, but that's about it. It's me and Rachel Teichman. Who is my friend and co-host.
Eddie Pepitone was just on this program, The Dork Forest, and his dorkdom was Wikipedia. And he spent an hour reading Wikipedia pages to me.
I have read more than 1,000 like Wikipedia episodes. Yeah. Yes. Like a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot. And
I'm going to ask him to come on the podcast. More, that'll be funny. Right.
It was more entertaining than one might think. I mean, I'm always fascinated by whatever the hell somebody's interested enough to spend 10,000 hours on. So, you know,
Wikipedia is very interesting.
I remember when it wasn't. And I said this on the Eddie episode is I remember when it was not a credible resource. And now it's not a bad source. You should get a second source. But initially, you were like, Wikipedia doesn't count. You need two real sources. And now I'm like, no, Wikipedia counts. I'm going to want one other source.
Also, Wikipedia quickly leads you to other sources.
And they're credible. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So good for Wikipedia. So what has Black nerd normcore hip hop been around since the 90s, the 80s?
Blurredcore?
Sure.
I think essentially, yes.
Okay.
I think essentially, yes. Like, I would say, like, because nerdcore, though, is sometimes, like, associated a lot with, like, video games. And I think blurredcore is, like, the same. So even though these people who I'm saying are blurredcore, like, I don't think back at the time, like, they're really about video games, but I would guarantee you now they would be, like, rapping about video games. Like Kwame. Do you remember Kwame?
I don't know Kwame. How am I spelling Kwame?
Kwame apostrophe, I believe.
It's an apostrophe or an accent aigu?
Maybe like an accent aigu, I think. I'm guessing you're saying whatever is right.
It is the French thing that makes you say the E differently.
Oh my God, your vocabulary is out of control.
Maybe that's my dorkdom.
That might be.
Kwame, how long have they been around?
Kwame has been around, I think that 30 years ago, they were big, like in the 80s.
Okay, that's that 40 would be 40. Yeah, yeah.
40 years ago in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, 80s and 90s. So maybe 30 years ago-ish, like around there. Late 80s, yeah. Early 90s.
He's an American rapper, singer, and record producer from East Elmhurst, Queens.
Yes. He's a mellow right. Cool brother, slicker than oil. His rap gets so hot, it makes the spit boil.
That's very late 80s. Good for you, Kwame.
Kwame.
His Instagram is Kwame Vision.
He's just recently started coming out with new music.
Oh, wow.
And there's actually, which is really funny and touching, he has a rap song where he's talking to himself as a youth, and the youth version of him is just like, I just bought a new house. And he's like, you're going to be sleeping on your mom's couch soon.
Oh my God. There is music going on my phone. There we go. I'm gone. It's so he wrote a song about buying a new house and then it went away.
He wrote a song about speaking to himself when he was young, because apparently when he was young, he was making a lot of money and thought it was going to last forever, and it did not. And so he's doing a reflective song to his younger self. They're using AI to make the cartoons of himself talking to himself.
Oh, wow. Well, that is too bad that he's using AI. Though, as someone who hires animators, it's a lot of work. And it takes at least 6 months, so you can't churn them out. It's hard to churn them out.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your favorite songs by Kwame, besides that one, clearly?
My favorite songs by Kwame, was that the rhythm that I was just quoting?
I don't know.
The rhythm, that's the only song I know the name of. And he was all about, like, he had polka dots, and he would always be like, I'm polka dots this and polka dots. And I didn't like those songs.
Okay.
Because I liked when the lyrics were clever. Like, I really liked really, like, super tight, clever lyrics. And it wasn't about, like, I wasn't, like, into mean. So, if, like, people were like, I'm going to walk up on you, you know, punch you in the face or whatever. I'm like, right. I don't like that.
Right. So, right.
Except for NWA when I was little. I loved NWA.
Well, because they were just
like, shoot everybody. And I was like, yeah.
Right. The rage of a 15-year-old lives in all of us. So,
So I wasn't, it was just like that one song that like stuck with me forever. And there was like another rapper named Super Lover C.
Yes.
And he had this song called Girls I Got Them Locked. It's gotta be one of the best just like songs ever. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's amazing.
What's
it's
it called?
It's an amazing song. It's Super Lover C, Girls I Got Them Locked.
Girls I've Got Them Locked. Mm. All right. Well, so that's just it. But that's just one of the great topics that a lot of hip hop and a lot of actually all pop music, whether it's except for folk, but like country songs and hip hop and pop songs are all about, I'm really good with getting laid. I don't know if you know this about me. And then they sing and it's usually got a good beat and the kids can dance to it. So,
sounds about right. I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine today. And I was talking to her about a guy who made a piece of art to like lure in a woman.
Okay.
And at first I was like, when you say it like that, it sounds awful. But that's like, I think that's like what everybody is just like, let me paint you. I love you. I love you. You know, like that's what artists do, right?
Right, I think that's why I have one of my brothers used to creepily take pictures of young women, not too young, occasionally too young. No, that wasn't him. Yeah, I think they were all over 18, no. But he was like, but they were, I think he was also sort of hitting on them, going, you're so beautiful. I'm taking photography classes. I'd like to take a picture of you. I think that is a way for people to say, yes. And, but
it's definitely for real. Yeah. I think it's something. I mean,
and
it's
21,
like,
and you're 44, it's going to be creepy. And you hand her an outfit. That's not okay. And,
in our profession, younger women will often come up to you and say hello. I am not a person that has been as interested in younger women for anything serious, but if I am single, I'm ready to mingle. That's all I'm saying. But I'm very upfront about it.
Right, right. And you're not ready to mingle with a 16-year-old, which is what one of the things I love.
No, that's not what I mean by young. That's not what I mean by young. That is a child. That's not what I meant.
Let us exactly.
I meant like mid-30s.
Ricardo is not mid-30s. There we go. Mid-30s. That's almost age appropriate. You know what they say? They say half your age plus 7. That's supposed to be your cutoff, the youngest person you should date. I always told my dad that if it was anybody who couldn't use a fountain pen, because he used to know how to use a fountain pen, and he kept dating women who could only use ballpoint pens. So
how did he find it out? Did he just leave the pen out and see what happened?
No, it's just me mocking him because he kept dating women that were super young. He's 88. It would be he shouldn't date anybody who's less than what, 44 plus 7? 51. But I don't know a 51-year-old that would want to date an 88-year-old guy who wasn't, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like a punishment.
Right. It sounds like a caregiver situation.
Yeah.
It's so.
Pull my old bones on top of you.
I just found out that if you have a hip replacement, you have to have sex in very specific ways. And how did I find that out? Some woman doing stand-up comedy, an older woman talking about getting a hip replacement and how it sort of affected her and her husband's sex life.
Oh, wow.
That's how I learn about things sometimes, Victor. Stand-up comedy. I probably need a second source, maybe Wikipedia.
I'm not a doctor, but maybe she should switch to the butt.
You aren't a doctor. That is proof. Because I don't know a doctor of the world who's ever said, maybe you should switch to the butt. I think that whole area, the midsection where your hips are being kept.
Yes.
That's also cradling both of the orifices that someone might want to get involved in.
Well, I know, but the angle's different butt-wise, right?
Sure. That's what I hear. You got any butt hip hop you want to talk to me about?
Dub Butt is one of my favorite old songs.
What's that? I don't remember Dub Butt.
It was from the movie School Days.
With a Z.
And it is called... Was it School Days? Directed by Spike Lee.
Yeah. I think... I'm uncertain.
It was the one he did... No, wait. Was it... It was after
it's a band called Experience Unlimited, 1988.
The Butt. D-A-B-U-T-T.
The Butt. A song released from School Days. The soundtrack.
School Days. There you go.
Yeah. It was written by Marcus Miller and performed by the DC. We may never know. Guess the thing about when I look things up on the internet, I like to write what I'm looking up and then the negative sign and AI, because then it just gives me normal stuff. It isn't just AI guessing what the internet might say about it, because I will be lazy and just go, oh, that looks close enough. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it's perfectly done. AI is a tool, you guys. All these, you just got to use your powers for good. That's all.
That's the way I feel about it as well.
Mm-hmm. So what are the, wait, there was lyrics for Debut. They're
doing the butt. Sexy, sexy. Ain't nothing wrong if you want to do the butt all night long.
1988. All right, come on, sing it one time. Walked into this place surprised to see a big girl getting busy, just rocking the go-go beat.
Yeah.
The way she shook her booty, she looked good to me. I said, come here, big girl. Won't you rock my world? Show that dance to me.
Doing
this
the
is
butt.
Not how it's good. She's doing the butt. She was doing the butt. Hey, sexy, sexy. Ain't nothing wrong if you want to do the butt all night long.
Yeah.
That's just good writing. You're not wrong.
It's great. Add a kind of a southern drawl and a funky beat with a little bit of a metal drum in it.
And all of a sudden, you're rich. You got it going on. Well, good for him. That's a good song.
Yeah, Doing the Butt is a great song. It was part of the movie. It was a giant cultural thing for, because School Days was like when Spike Lee was just like on fire, you know?
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah.
And
was that
the black
before
community,
or after Do the Right Thing?
I believe it was after Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
And in the black community, especially for me as a wannabe filmmaker, like it was like a huge deal seeing this movie like produced with such a big budget with black themes, black actors. It was great. I was so happy. But I thought The Butt was such a silly song to come out of the movie, but it was funny, but it's also like, I don't know why they made the song the way they made the song, but it was just like so much fun. And it's like part of, I think, my growing up is that sometimes no matter how bad things are, when just like a fun, goofy song comes on, like everybody just dances and just has a good time. And it just reminded me of that feeling. And that's like how it was in the movie. And that's how it was in the music video too. Like that same kind of feeling.
What was School Days about? I didn't see that one. Was it just a comedy or?
No, it was a comedy, drama, and maybe a little bit of suspense. It was about, I don't remember exactly what it was about, but it was about like, you know, someone was in a sorority and someone was in a fraternity and someone tried to prove their love, and then a guy tricks a girl into having sex with a guy and was like, that was a trick. It was a test. And then she's like, you're an ass. And I don't remember all the things that happened. It was a lot of stuff.
That is something I do remember about Spike Lee, is that he will have like easily 11 or 13 things going on. Like the movie that I've seen of his more than once is Do the Right Thing. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, it's about rising tensions and all these other things, but it's also about pizza and it's about the businesses and it's about, right. So here's the overview for School Days. Historically black Mission College. Lawrence Fishburne is in it.
Yes.
Immerses himself in a world of political rhetoric and social movements. One day he hopes to rally the students as a united front. The biggest frat, there's Giancarlo Esposito, the head of the biggest fraternity on campus, is more concerned with maintaining a strict social order. In between, Lawrence Fishburne's conflicted cousin, Spike Lee, spends most of his time rushing the fraternity. So that's the overview.
All right. So
that doesn't,
they don't
that
even mention the women.
It. Yeah, they don't. It's a
it was like a big deal in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's so funny because people are like, you know, I because I'm 100 years old, everybody talks about all these movies from sort of the mid 90s or early 90s where that they loved, and you're like, that were questionable, like they don't really hold up, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's like 16 Candles and all those, because it was Long Dong or whatever. I think he was in 16 Candles. But there was a bunch of movies that...
Long Duck Dong, actually.
Long Duk Dong. Why the
I think it was Long Duk Dong.
All right. But yeah, it doesn't particularly hold up. And that one specifically comes to mind because I could pull out certain things. And it was sold as like a high school kids movie, right? And if you ever saw 16 Candles in the theater, there's a boob shot where one of the characters is not wearing a shirt because she's in the shower, you guys. You don't usually wear one. And they cut it out of when they showed it on TNT and TBS 1 million times in the late 90s. But it's always so interesting. Like, why wouldn't they mention the women? The fact that someone was tricked into being date raped. And I laugh. Okay.
Wait, what?
why wouldn't they mention all of the women stuff?
But what was the boob shot in the, what does the boob shot have to do with in 16 Candles?
It would be like having the overview for 16 Candles or the overview for a Breakfast Club or the overview for Porky's. I mean, just like some other movie that parts of it, like, because that would be a scene that was glossed over.
Yeah. You're saying that 16 Candles, the overview would have to also be truncated like this.
Right.
Because they can't really say what the story was about. Then why did you spend so much time talking about a boob being cut out of a TNT thing?
Well, that was just a side. It was just to let you know that if you were to see it on TNT.
That is where I got lost. I was confused.
You won't be seeing that boob shot. And if you've only seen 16 Candles.
I was like, what?
Have you ever seen 16 Candles? Did you see it in the theater?
Yes, I have seen 16 Candles, and I do understand there's a boob shot. I didn't understand why you spent so much time explaining about this boob shot. I was really confused because I was like following you, and then I wasn't. That's what happened. But now we're back. I get it.
All right. Talk about what you want. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. We can talk about what you want as well. I just wanted to. I didn't understand the boob shot part.
No, but this is a perfect example of the dork for us because you're explaining something that just happened. And then I'm going to explain what also just happened. And we're going to spend 5-6 minutes doing this. This will be good. It's real Let's clock go. Eater.
Let's do it.
And so I'm just saying that some of this stuff is racist and shitty and sexist. And there's rape scenes. And then in the overview, they don't tell you.
Oh, yeah. There's like a lot of movies like that. Why don't you just say that?
Because I thought I had said it in passing and you didn't get it. So nope. you had to unpack it, which is
have you ever seen,
fair
like,
enough, man.
He's the Man or the one where he's like in blackface the whole time.
Oh, Christ. I'd heard about
like where
that
he's like,
one.
He's like in blackface. He's like the whole movie is about him.
Who greenlit that? Yeah.
You know, somebody in Hollywood. They're like,
yeah.
I mean, if...
Every time someone goes in blackface,
probably get greenlit right now too. Again, like in the weird Hollywood is where it's like all like you know crazy Christian movies or whatever like the weird Hollywood is like
Lethal Weapon like, guy like it would be a movie. But whatever, like in my life, there's been several instances where there's been blackface in the last 50 years, there's been blackface that someone has chosen to do in real life or in a movie where you're like, why would you think that that was okay? Like even Tropic Thunder, you know? And then He's the Man.
Yeah. Well, here's
and
the
then
thing.
Ted Danson.
I know the answer. I know the answer. And I'll tell you what the answer is and I'll tell you why I know the answer. Okay. Because, here it is. So the answer is that every white comedian, they want to be the one to do that super racist thing and have everyone still love them. They want to be the one who pulls the sword out of the stone and does like the greatest N-word joke ever. And then everybody white is like, that's great. And everybody black is like, that is great. You're the one. That's what they want. And the reason I know this is because not only do people sometimes say things around me when they don't know that I'm black, but when people do know that I'm black, they often say things that they wouldn't say to people, black people with darker skin, because they don't think I don't look threatening. So that led to a time when I was at a party, mm-hmm. and this comedian, I was going to say kid, it is a kid, like he's like, what, 25, whatever. He walked up to me and he was like, hey man, I got a great N-word joke for you. And I was like, I doubt it. And then he says, no, I really do. I really want you to see it. And I was like, can I film you? And then he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And so I went with my friend and I filmed him. It was terrible. And then I took the footage of the joke and I showed it to like five or six other black comedians. And we all watched this footage. Then we punched up his joke. and then we responded to it. We also swore secrecy, never to tell him what we did to punch up his joke. And then I went back and interviewed him again and showed him the footage of them responding to his joke. And then I said to him during the interview, I asked him that question. I was like, is it because you want to be the one who pulls up the name? And he was just like, yeah. And I have this. I'm actually cutting this into a documentary right now.
Okay, so you turned it into a teachable moment, but who's got that kind of time? Only comedians.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes, it's just like for you to find every just straight white guy comedian and go, here, I'm going to turn this into a teachable moment for you. But you can only do that one for every 1,000, because otherwise that would be all you did. It'd be trying
apparently,
to teach
I, apparently white I do people it a lot.
One person at the time at a time. Yeah.
Apparently, I do it a lot. I met a guy recently who was a comedian, and then he's been doing it for like 7 years. And he said to me, like, every time that I meet him with another person, he says to me, let me tell you how I met Victor. And his story is that he was doing a show I was hosting, and right after he got off stage, I was like, man, was that guy racist.
That's a teachable moment that you were not, I mean, that guy chose to make that into a teachable moment, I think, more than anything else. And I don't think you turned that into, like, I think you were just right. Right.
Well, I'm not even trying to teach anybody anything. I'm just right. Like,
you're just saying
what I feel I need to say.
Right. You were saying out loud the thing that was true. And then he turned that into a moment where hopefully he learned something from it. So, but this effort, where you're filming people and then you're punching it up and then you're going back, that feels like the work. You're doing some real groundswell there. So, but I'm glad.
I just want to say the guy that I said was racist, he wasn't actually racist, but his jokes were.
I don't know where lies the difference.
Because when people
is it just ignorance?
Yeah, when people are starting out, they don't know everything they're doing, and so sometimes they do stuff like they write jokes out of desperation.
We're all throwing noodles at the wall, it'll stick. Yeah,
I mean, so he's been doing it for 7 years now. So like when I met him, I think he had done it. It was like his first year or two. I mean, and you know. You're just like, please laugh at anything, please help me.
Yeah. I once told Sully McCullough that I had a joke he could use. And Sully McCullough looked at me. And Sully McCullough, he's a West Coast guy. I don't know if you know him, but
I do.
Okay. He's amazing. He's also doesn't need a joke that I wrote. And he doesn't need a joke about black people that I wrote. And this was easily 20 years ago. And what I learned from that is that I should stop speaking for the black community. How about that? How about never? How about not ever? Wrap it up. So very ridiculous. But it doesn't mean I can't like hip hop. I still like some hip hop. But I haven't liked any new hip hop in a little bit. It's been a second since I bought an album. Probably every 5 or 6 years, I'll buy a hip hop album. The last one I bought was Lupe Fiasco.
I don't think I've bought music in a long time. I mean, I definitely contributed to people's Spotify money, which is probably not much, but I don't think I bought music in a while.
Right, right. It's absolutely. I always buy the album just because I want people to buy my albums, and I think. you know, if you spend $9, $10 on an album, somebody gets a buck. If I listen to it on Amazon, which is what the music platform that I got sucked into a dozen years ago, I think they get 11 cents. If that, they might get a penny a track. So it's fine. And then I own it. And then I could rip it if I could figure out how to do that again. Because I think they will take away the media soon.
Who will take away the media?
The man. It's the only conspiracy theory I believe in, quite honestly, is that that's why I keep buying DVDs. They're gonna take them off the platforms. Yeah.
I am worried about people being disconnected from each other because it's easier and easier to just like not, you know, leave your house. And then if it's easier and easier to not leave your house, oh, this would be like a great movie. Then at some point you stop. Like, when do you know that everything you're seeing is, you know, real or not AI generated, because it's becoming impossible to tell the difference.
Right. It's very well done, some of it. And some of it is so bad that you're always surprised when people don't know. You're like, that's just a font that isn't even straight on that guy's t-shirt. He's not wearing a t-shirt that says that.
Whenever I use AI for anything, I never hide that it's AI. I'm just like, in fact, I like to make really stupid things with it.
Yeah, and really for the best, because people are going to notice. And if you try to hide, they're just going to think you're just, you think you're getting away with something, as opposed to, yeah, I used AI because this doesn't have any video. So here we go. And what do you got? You got another song? You got another band you like?
Of course, I'm a big, I would say second best song ever. No, third best song ever written has got to be The Humpty Dance.
See, I don't think any of these people
Underground.
I don't think any of these people are nerds.
What? Digital Underground?
I don't know that they're singing about anything, but so the lyrics to The Humpty Dance, I mean, it's a great song.
I would just like to say that Humpty Hump, who sang The Humpty Dance, was a character that Shock G in the same band did and performed in a rubber nose and glasses. As the Humpty Hump character. When you say that he is not a nerd, I would like to first put that forth.
I know, I thought, but I
thought he does a funny voice.
He does a funny voice. I'm stepping
and he
tall,
about
y'all.
Burger King. What?
Just like the Humpty Dumpty, you're going to fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky. I'm spunky and I like my oatmeal lumpy. That's a great line. That's an amazing line.
Yeah.
Because you know why it's a great line? Because I'm glad you like your oatmeal lumpy, but the reason it's in there is because it fucking rhymes. So congratulations. And all right. I eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Yo, fat girl, come here. Are you ticklish? I called you fat. Look at me. I'm skinny. I've never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. So, yes, he mentions Burger King and he's wearing funny glasses, but he's getting some. I always think of nerds as not getting any, but that's mostly because I was a nerd who didn't get any.
Oh my gosh. I was researching LARPers, live action role players.
Sure.
They fuck. Like,
oh, they do.
Oh, sorry. Can you say, Anya? I don't know. Is your podcast
earlier?
Swear. No,
sure.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Yes, they fuck. But that, like, it is, you know, it's like a,
it is
like
a social talk. Right. It's very much like band camp. And it's probably people who went to band camp. So yeah, I think what you were just saying about how people are becoming more isolated, LARPing is a perfect example of getting out of your damn house. Jenny Powell was just on, did an episode of The Dork Forest. She does, I think it's like 300 people LARPs.
Mm-hmm.
Or 100 people LARPs. Whatever it is, they build a small town. And they have like a outside of LA, they rent this field like, what, 8-10 times a year?
Mm-hmm.
And 100 or 200 people all come out. They all put on their sword and sorcery clothes, and people bring food, and there's in-game purchasing of foods, mm-hmm, and beverages and all these things. And I do believe that they get some action done. I believe that that there are some sexy times, and I believe that there is some drinking,
mm-hmm,
and I believe that there is some picnicking. And then there's also, I think, some rock, paper, scissors going on, because they're also playing a game. They're also playing a little LARPing. And LARPing battles in LARPing are often rock, paper, scissors.
Here's what you do not know.
What don't I know?
You do not know that I directed a web series called Realm of LARP, where I followed LARPers around. And also, it is now a film. And so I have a documentary series that I did where I followed.
You guys should all go to IMDb, Victor Varnado, and see all the things that he has done and stream and watch them, because they are amazing.
Oh, I know everything about LARPing, but I love hearing about it.
Well, here's what you don't know about me, is that I am married to a guy that LARPed before it was called LARPing.
Oh, really?
He was part of the original crew that invented fucking LARPing. And now it is split into theatrical LARPing.
Anachronistic or whatever it was. What did
no,
they call
it was even before that, SCA, Society of Creative Anachronism. But some of his friends were in SCA. His friend Lee.
We're dorking on top of each other. It's over dorking.
That's it. That's it. I don't know anything about it. I've been, I think, in 3 LARPs. One time, Maria and I did a Sandman LARP when Andy and I were just dating. And I said, well, can I come and watch? Because what the hell is it? And it was 40 people, and they were doing The Wake from Sandman. Mm-hmm. And it was 40 people, and people within the LARP had to write one-act plays, because it wasn't the Sandman's LARP, Wake. It was going to be somebody's Wake, one of the Endless. And so there were 9 or 7, however many of the Endless there are, one-act plays that were during the show, during the event. And then there were people, there were different gods and all these, all the different characters. And I said, can I come and watch? And Andy said, it's not fun to watch a LARP. It is only fun to play a LARP. And Maria was like, Bamford came and we did craft services. And then we played non-player characters that we would be sent in. And Maria Bamford was in one of the mini plays, and it was the Death of Desire. Desire is one of the Endless gods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Maria, last minute, just got the script, just because she was good at cold reading, nailed it, and she played Apathy. And she was the one who killed Desire as Apathy. And they still talk about it, and that happened.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
I don't know. 15, 20 years
about this. We have to talk about this because I'm trying to do season 2 coming up, and I cast comedians in like roles in the show, because like certain pivotal roles, I wanted, it to be solid for sure.
Yeah.
But it was real LARPers, everything else. Like all the main characters are LARPers. We'll talk about it later. I don't want to get into too much.
And there can be crossover. Real.
Yes.
Like the woman who played Ms. Marvel in the Marvel Universe. She was in one of those. I don't think it's Critical Role. I think it's a live D&D game that is a little bit theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
And she played a guest. She guested and just rolled dice and was there. So she is also a gamer. But she was in one episode because the woman who's hosting it, I think she's the game master, is a giant nerd and an actress and knows the woman who plays Ms. Marvel. And was like, will you be on my weird web series about Dungeons and Dragons? And she said, mm-hmm, sure. and it was really fun, actually. I guess she was in 1 or 2 episodes. I can't remember.
That's awesome.
And then she left. So So this is what I want. I want hip hop about LARPing. That's what I think would be. That's what I thought.
I can make that happen.
I'm sure you can make that happen, and I'm sure it's out there. I wish I knew the names of the bands.
I've seen a lot of. I don't know a lot of hip hop about LARPing. I do know there is a hip hop song about. It was the MC Frontalot though.
MC
Frontalot. He's a white dude. Still valid person though.
You know. Sure. It's just like men can be good at stand up. White people can occasionally write a good song. It'll happen.
Generalizations.
Yes.
And he has a song called "You Are About to Be Eaten by a Gru," which is Yeah. That song's awesome.
Right. So that is what I've never heard that song. I just tried to look it up, but it's Pitch Dark came up for some reason. It's Pitch Dark. You Are About to Be Eaten by a Gru.
Yes. Do you know what this is from?
No.
So it's from this old text adventure game where you'd have to have a lantern in the text adventure game. And then have a lamp, it would say, it's pitch dark. You're about to be eaten by a Gru. And then you have to either light a lamp or get eaten.
Man, those text video games were brutal. They were, I always died. I tried to play the Lord of the Rings one, just died next to the Brandywine River every time. Months I spent replaying going into that's the first forest, right? Mm-hmm. That's right outside of where Fatty Bulger was left. Tom Bombadil should have showed up. I don't understand why he didn't in the game. I don't know what he did wrong. Never did the walkthrough. And the only other games that I ever played text-wise were text and image together.
Yeah.
And it was, the hell was the name of that? It was a dungeon crawl, and I can't remember the name of it. It was Dungeons of Doom. That's what it was called. And it was very black and white. 8-pixel, but it also had writing on it. Did you ever play the text games?
Yes.
Yeah, was it?
Yes, I definitely. Which ones did you? Zork. Do you remember Zork?
No. How are you spelling that? Is it just Z-O-R-K?
Z-O-R-K. It was one of the first text games where you could do full sentences because they had an engine to break down sentences. So it was one of the first games where you could just be like, "I'm going to walk over to the door."
Right. Do you know in war games, he's playing a half image, half text video game. Do you know if that's a real game in the beginning of war games?
In the beginning of war games? I'd have to look at it. I don't remember what it looks like. I'd have to see it.
Yeah, I've seen that movie too many times. So
I've seen Tron too many times.
The OG Tron or the new ones?
Yeah, the original Tron. I have a poster of the original Tron on my wall.
How does that hold up? It must hold up pretty good. Or do you just like it because you've seen it a billion times?
It's actually pretty awesome because the design is so crazy. Like they had some crazy. Was it Mobius? Was he one of the designers on Tron?
I don't know.
Like. It's had such crazy design, both for in the computer world and not in the computer world. But when it's in the computer world, the world is so all encompassing that it works in any era.
Right. You know? Right.
Like it's like watching Blade Runner. Like Blade Runner works because it's a fully realized world. And if you have a fully realized world, it doesn't matter when you're watching that movie. It just works. Like Lord of the Rings will always be Lord of the Rings.
That's interesting. The Tron, the essentially the set designer, the designers made it a fully realized world. That makes me want to watch it again because I just remember thinking this isn't like the video game. So in other words, I only saw it once and I was still playing the video game.
I love it. I love it so much. Like I love it so much that it is known that I like. Through my closest friends, how much I love it.
Well, you have a poster. Have you seen the new ones? And do you think that they add or are they any good?
They were the new ones. Both were mediocre. I like them both, but they're both mediocre. Not as good as the first one.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's, I've seen a little bit of them on the back of chairs on airplanes. It's not enough to really get a real solid idea of what's going on. Is Jeff Daniels in them?
For a little bit.
Okay.
He's kind of really, he's really jammed into the second one. I mean, yeah, the, sorry, the second sequel. So the third movie, he's really like just jammed in there. There's no reason for
just
him to be
out of the blue, out of the blue, like, for no reason.
Yes.
That's fun. And so everyone should know, by the way, that the love of video games, highscoregamearcade.com. I'm talking with Victor Varnado, and it's Roboto Supremo on Instagram is just his thing. Highscoregamearcade.com is where the games will start. And that's the 29th, right?
That is the 29th. Although I will do a special, I would do a special tournament just for Dork Forest people. What we do is we pick a day. Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me pick a day.
Okay.
Let's pick a day. So like we have to pick a day after this comes out. So everybody knows that there's only, only people who heard of this episode will know to play on that day and win a prize.
Okay. Well, do you want it to be the day after it comes out, the 28th? Or do you want it to come?
You tell, would you, how long, well, how long do people need to hear your episodes?
Well, we could give it a week if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Then a week after it comes out.
Okay. So the Tuesday, the it's February. You guys, you get to watch us look at our calendars. You're not wrong. So the 20, it's coming out on the 27th, on the 3rd, February 3rd.
Okay. So on February 3rd.
Everybody go to highscoregamearcade.com and it'll be a fun thing for Rangers.
No, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you a thing that so that only people who have that code will they'll only be playing each other. So everybody else in the world doesn't matter. I'm going to put up a prize just for people who are listening to this episode and only people listening to this episode.
Email me. I'll send you the code. Jackie@JackieCation.com. And I will send
the code to you. Awesome.
That's it.
Send the code. Yeah. And then we'll send the code and then only those people will be able to play. And then whoever wins on that day. Pick a game. You can pick a game if you want to.
I don't.
On the website, there's four games right now. There's there's Fruits and Dragons, which is a Dungeons and Dragons and Candy Crush mashup.
Okay.
There is Break Invaders, which is half Space Invaders, half Breakout.
Okay.
There is Joey Kramer's. Coffee game. Joey Kramer, the drummer from Aerosmith, he had a coffee brand and he paid me to make him a game and I made him a game like Tapper. So there's like a Tapper like game where you have to wear in a coffee shop. And then there's also a game called Pong Up, which is like a really simple tapping game, but it's just a really fun tapping game.
How about just the match three, the Fruits and Dragons?
Fruits and Dragons. Okay. So on February 3rd,
you guys, everybody knows how to play a match three. February 3rd, we'll all play.
It's easy. There's no time limit, so you can play at your own pace.
Okay, nice.
That is,
I love it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Fruits and Dragons. Okay, and I'm gonna give four prizes. How many prizes? Four prizes. Five prizes. That's good. Okay, so first place.
So if five of us play, we'll all win something.
If five of you play, you all win something.
Jackie@JackieCation.com.
First place. I will give $10 in Venmo. Okay.
Wow! Actual cash, you guys. A 10 spot coming.
Well, actually, PayPal.
Venmo. If it's international, it's got to be PayPal. Yeah.
It's PayPal. We do only PayPal, so we don't have to worry about paying. You know how to pay people. You're just like you don't have PayPal. Sorry.
You should have PayPal. It's pretty easy.
Okay, and then I will give. Wait, Jackie, will you play that day?
I'll give it a shot. Once? Yeah.
Play once that day? Okay, so anybody who is just above Jackie's score gets $10 as well.
Anybody who smokes me.
Beat Jackie's score. And then we'll give $5 just randomly to people who play.
Okay.
Three other people.
Thanks for having me. Victor Arenado, it's been an hour. The way it goes is people should go to Robot. I don't know why I'm having a hard time saying robot, but it's Roboto Supremo on Instagram. Roboto Supremo. And highscoregamearcade.com. And we've talked about a variety of dorky things. And then there was some miscommunication in the middle. So scroll back and listen to that, assholes. I just called Rangers. Rangers, we're in this together. Anyway, it's been great having you. Thanks for, this was just fun. We just talked. It's been fun. Here's the thing about Victor Brandato. He's a multifaceted dork. It's hard to glue him down to one thing. But he does like songs where people get some action. That's what we've learned briefly in a couple of the songs that have been revealed.
I do like songs where people get some action. Apparently all the songs, like the two songs, the lyrics you read were all about big girls, which is hilarious and crazy.
Right. That's right.
Speaking of aging well.
Right. It's well, I'm glad I'm in the mix, even though I'm not, of course, monogamy. But thank you so much for doing the show, Victor, and I hope to see you in real life.
Awesome.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?